Welcome to the Scare Trap Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of ScareTrack, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard. Very long time.
Quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is a discussion episode all about the UK top 10 best scare attractions. We get Hannah from Scare Track also on the podcast, and myself and Hannah discuss each and every a scare attraction that made the top 10 list. Now, to get this top 10 list, we had to ask you guys, the Scare Track listeners, on our social media pages. So if you didn't get a chance to vote this time, or if you're not following us yet, make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook to make sure you can be included in our next public vote when it comes to our next top 10 video. We made a top 10 video over on our YouTube channel, so head over and check that, youtube.com/ScareTrack, and see what made the UK top 10 best scare attraction / haunt / maze, whatever you want to call it. Head over there to our YouTube channel to check out who made the list. Some fantastic attractions on there. We had loads and loads and loads of votes, so thank you so much. 80 different attractions were actually voted for in the end, and we round up what made the top 10. So check out that video. If you've already seen it, then listen on here where myself and Hannah discuss each and every individual attraction in more depth. We talk about our experiences there and just talk about the top 10 in general and how excited we are for our next top 10 videos. So without any further ado, I'm going to get Hannah into the studio and let's talk all about the UK's top 10 best scare attractions.
You're listening to Scare
Track. Hello and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by my good lady wife, Hannah.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going really well. Still locked down.
We are still locked down. We haven't killed each other yet. But what we have been doing is finding other ways to try and entertain you guys whilst we can't go out to any parks, can't go out to any theme parks or coaster track. Obviously, we've been able to bring you a few interviews during this lockdown time, which is great. We've spoke to the likes of R-Space Productions. We're going to be speaking to Callum at Scream Camp again in a few days' time. We spoke to Dr. Fright's Halloween Nights. It's great to be able to talk to people. Obviously, we can't talk to everyone because they are currently trying to, you know, make sure that their business is running and viable whilst we're in lockdown, because it's a very crazy time for all of us. But what we also did was a top 10 best UK scare attractions list. Now, what we didn't want to do to start with is just do our own personal 10. Although we could probably do that at some point, couldn't we?
We could. I don't think we'd agree.
Maybe we'd do a Hannah versus Mikey.
We'd have to vote.
Yes.
Anonymously.
Okay. But we could do more stuff in the future. We wanted to do this one first just to see if anyone liked it. And within the first day, it's got, like, you know, nearly 500 views.
It took over your weekend, really.
Yeah, it was quite heavy.
Every time I was like, what are you doing? Because he's on his phone during a film or stuff. He's like, I've got more votes here.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of time when you're counting everyone's votes. Now, I want to say thank you. We had, like, well over 100, well, more than that, like nearly 200 votes. Which is great, considering we've never done anything like that before. I hope we can only build on that as well.
For me, it was mad how diverse the votes were. There were so many different mazes that were put up for nomination. Some got one, some got two nominations, but there was just so many. Mm. And I think that just shows how many great attractions we have in the UK.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. We had over 80 different attractions voted for by nearly 200 different people. And some were really surprising. Not surprising saying that they don't deserve that, not at all. But there's some that I just thought it would instantly be in the top 10. I thought that the Village at Extreme Screen Park, instantly in the top 10. Now, obviously, it's a little bit different. We are only asking our Scare Track network of people. And that's exactly what it was. It was a vote of people who voted on our social media pages. So if you guys have seen the video and you're not happy but you didn't vote, well, it's not. It's like you can't complain if Boris is running the country and you didn't even vote for anyone else. So
it is mad, though, looking through all the different mazes that were voted for. There are some absolute bangers here. And when you go through our list that you'll never see, but when you go through our list, you look at them and you're like, oh my god.
Well, what is, is there a couple here that you were really like, we're going through our list, like I say, 80 different attractions. It just shows how varied the UK Scare Network is.
Well, there's a couple here that all got one vote each, and one of them was my original first vote, but then I changed my mind. And that was Hollywood Horror, Dr. Frights. And then it's there. I mean, Vulcan Pete got a vote. I don't know who's joking about
I think someone was trolling me there. But yeah, there's
But you've got the likes of Vita Nova at Fear at Avon Valley.
Which was amazing.
Got Ward 78, Warsaw Scare Maze. Spooky Castle, which is at Broadwich Hornfirth.
Yeah, again, the frigging quality attraction.
Sorry, I'm just naming things now.
There's some really quality attractions that are here on the list. And like I say, 80 different attractions, 200 people voting. And like we say, it's one of those that we thought, well, that's the fairest way we could do it. We left it on there for 3 days for people to vote. And we did the top 10 best UK scare attractions as voted by people on the scare track. And like I say, people might have I said this at the end of the video. I think everyone's really enjoyed the video. It's been really enjoyable and people really enjoyed watching it. But also, if you didn't like that or disagree with that, awesome, let us know in the comments below. What do you think should have been on that list? It's just the way that it's fell. I'm really happy with the list, and I think everyone on here, you know, deserves to be on it. But there are some that I really thought, you know, Experiment 10 got quite a handful of votes for Thorpe Park. Now, that was a maze that really did change the face of the UK scare industry, I believe, with not having hands on shoulders. It was one of the first mazes to do that in the UK. To Put You Alone, it's one of the first mazes to do that in the UK. Yeah. Didn't even hit the top 10. Skin Snatchers, Subspecies, Creek Freak Massacre, you know, only got a couple of votes. So crazy how varied it is, lots of different attractions. That's what I love to see. It was great to see how many people had totally different ideas of their favourite attraction. If you haven't yet seen the video, please do go and watch it. It's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack. It is the latest video that's up there as of today, as of the recording, which is the 6th of June 2020. And Hannah, they can also watch it on our website, can't they?
Yeah, at www.scaredtrack.co.uk.
Scared Track.
I don't know our website.
What's our website?
You can find us at www.scaretrack.co.uk.
Well done.
Or.com.
No,
not
it's
sure.
.co.uk. Right.
But I've absolutely loved doing this top 10, and I'm really excited for...
Have you?
Yeah.
You've enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, I
Have
did
you done any work?
I did. Let's get scared.
Well done.
On a different...
Yeah, on something else. So basically, yeah, it meant that I was away for you for 3 days.
Carry on. I'm speaking.
How did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed Mikey doing this top 10, because it meant I got 72 hours away from him. But I'm intrigued to know, what did you vote?
Me?
Mikey? Yeah.
I did vote.
You did? Who did you vote for?
I voted for The Sanctuary.
Ooh,
yeah,
good choice.
I think it was fair that us could also have a vote, and people in Scare Track could have a vote.
I voted for Asylum.
You did, yeah.
Two Merlin
standout attractions there. Here in Merlin, listen to that. Right, so let's do our top 10. What we thought we'd do on this podcast is talk about these attractions in a little bit more depth. Obviously, there's more we'll be able to talk about than others. We haven't actually visited every single attraction on this list, which is another reason why I didn't want to go out and do, as a first video, our top 10 scare attractions, because we've only visited a select amount around the UK. There's only me and Hannah, and obviously the rest of the Scare Track gang, who last year, Martin had a baby, Sean was busy working at Tully's, and Kate was working at Traumatica in Europa Park. So last year, it really was just me and Hannah. And throughout the years, it's heavily me and Hannah, with a team joining us as and when they can. We don't have a massive team of 20-odd people. I think it'd be very unfair if we just said, these are the top 10 scare attractions
As voted by you.
And like I say, moving on, I think that we potentially could do our own lists or top tens or...
I like the public vote.
Yeah.
I like the interaction and getting to know people that have worked
getting
in these
to
mazes.
Know
or,
you.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we've had a lot of people voting.
Loads of that, interaction, which is
that,
great.
That I don't personally know who they are, so yeah. I've really enjoyed... these new people interacting
yeah.
with us.
Maybe we keep these top tens as all public votes and we can do other kind of lists over on our social media
maybe.
Pages.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know in the comments below.
What would you like us to do?
Moving on. Let's go through the top 10. Like I say, on the video, youtube.com/scaretrack. Check it out. If you follow us on any of our social media pages, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter or Facebook, it's one of the pin posts up there. You'll be able to find it nice and easy. Make sure you
or
show
you
your friends as well.
Or you can find it at the website at www.scaretrack.co.uk.
She got it right. Awesome. But we didn't want that video to be mega, mega long. We wanted to keep it a 10 to 12 minute video. So we literally just had a maximum of 1 minute on each attraction. Here we can talk a little bit more about each attraction. Let's go into a little bit more depth. Like I say, probably with 80% of these, because there's a few that we haven't visited ourselves. Let's start with number 10, Scream Camp.
In at number 10... is Scream Camp.
I like that, very good. Yes. I should have got you to do that for the video.
I know,
so
you never let me help.
No. So, Scream Camp. Obviously, Hannah didn't visit this. I visited Scream Camp and Scream Camp The Ritual, two very, very different attractions. But Scream Camp, again, you can listen to our podcast, which is on our website, and you can listen to or watch our interview we did with Callum on the couch. Callum on the couch.
I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. He came to Scaretrack HQ last year to talk all about Scream Camp coming up for this year, which is unfortunately currently postponed. They are award winner. They won the best out of season scare attraction for 2019. Not bad when it's your first year. And they sold out within days, didn't they?
I know. Absolutely insane. I remember that I wasn't really sure what Scream Camp was. For me, when people mentioned Scream Camp, I just had visions back to overnight experiences that other parks had done that I knew were quite intense. I think Callum worked with the one I have yeah. in mind. So I never really knew what it was. And then Mikey said he was going to Scream Camp, and I met the Scream Camp guys at ScareCon 2019. I knew them previously, but not sort of as Scream Camp. And seeing you go through that, made me never want to.
It is one that is very intense, but it's not extreme. There's definitely extreme tendencies in there. You know, for some people to say you're going 10 hours, no sleep, camping in the middle of nowhere with killer murderers, and you're going into
without
a box
even
and hanging over a cliff.
No, just camping.
Then that is extreme in some people's books, but there was no forced eating. No, there was nothing that was too aggressive. It was just forced. It was more forced, intense stuff. Location worked really, really well. It was in the middle of nowhere. It felt like you were really secluded from everyone else. It also meant... that you were more vulnerable to the actors, and it was really fun, really exciting. It was a good mixture of entertainment comedy on one side of it in camp, where you're telling ghost stories, you're playing games, you're roasting marshmallows, and all of a sudden the murderers come and try and hang you off a cliff. It was crazy, it was mad. What I did like about it is that it all seemed fresh, it all seemed new, it was entertaining. It was a decent price as well. I think it was £40. It's just up to £50 this year. But for a 10-hour overnight experience, you can spend more than that on a Travelodge, you know what I mean? Where you get no experience. So, yeah, it was really good, really enjoyable. Very proud that they've won a SCAR Award in their debut year. And like I say, the Ritual was amazing as well, although that was a sort of a subsection to Scream Camp. But yeah, number 10, Scream Camp. Guys, as soon as the tickets go back on sale again, book them, because it's awesome. They have just released tickets and sold out within 20 minutes, I think it was, of The Ritual. No.
The Retreat,
which is another event never before they reckon seen here in the UK. So
I'm nervous about it.
Me and Hannah are going to do that as soon as lockdown's lifted, so I'm very excited about that.
I think my only sort of thing I'm excited about with it is that obviously social distancing means I won't be forcibly moved around.
True. But yeah, definitely number 10, Scream Camp.
Congratulations. Number nine.
In at number nine is Wastelands Penitentiary at Tully's Shocktoberfest.
Yes, and I'm very happy this is in the top 10, purely because it's just a monumental beast of an attraction, isn't
it? This blew me away.
Yes.
From the whole facade with the containers, like in the air where it says the Wastelands, like you're going into the Wastelands, to the whole area with the actors.
I would say this is stage show. Theme park quality. Mm-hmm.
And all that is
theming.
Before you even get in the attraction.
Well, that's it, isn't it? There's sort of two parts to this, or maybe even three when you want to look at it. It's Tully's Shocktoberfest, already a leader in the UK. We know that. Their attractions are awesome. They're long. They're not always necessarily the scariest. I think that's because they pride themselves on being very open to the masses. Mm. I'd say that it's the Disneyland of scream parks here in the UK. It's yeah. open to the whole family as such, you know. You're not going to get anything that's overly too sexual or too extreme or too intense or too gory. It's all a bit of a mixture. Yeah. Although there's a lot of tongue in cheek with their street team. Hello, naughty nurses. Mm. And everyone else. Their street team is phenomenal and everything about it.
They have Circus of Horrors.
They have
as
Circus
well.
Of Horrors there, which is a big deal. But Wastelands Penitentiary, it just blew us away. Like Hannah said, the facade, a lot of work done by Aardvark Effects, which we're hoping to get on the show very soon as well to talk all about the attractions that they've worked with in the scare community. It just looks so, so good. Make sure you head over to our YouTube channel to watch our Tully's Shocktoberfest press night mini vlog, our scare cam from there, and you'll be able to see the actual
inside of the maze. Yeah,
inside
the
maze.
Facade on
the
outside. The fire show.
Fire show. Oh, yeah, the fact that it has... I mean, shows are becoming more prominent in the UK, which is, I think is really good as well in the UK, whether it be stage shows with magicians, acrobats, or anything like that, or a bit of a fire show. Obviously, we saw it at Fear at Avon Valley, which I really think helped the UK bring its A-game when it came to that kind of show. And Tully's, they have the space to make it bigger, and it does just look so, so good. The whole place has a Mad Max post-apocalyptic feel, and it's also a scare zone, really, isn't it? It's a scare zone, it's a maze, it's a show, it's a facade, Wastelands, and also...
You could stand there for a good half an hour.
We did. We just stayed in that area for ages.
From a business point of view, that's pure genius, because you've put this sort of area together that doesn't take a lot of actors to man, and it's a crowd eater.
Yes.
You know, it bringing down the levels of people queuing because they're standing
watching
a show or interacting in a Wastelands area.
I agree, 100%. It's a phenomenal area. I really do think it needs to be... Did it win an award, Wasteland Penitentiary? I can't remember.
I don't think it did.
Oh.
It was nominated.
Yeah, well, bad decision. I always think that was incredible.
In at number eight... Asylum at Thorpe Park.
Now, what is a top UK best top 10 list without the Asylum on it from Thorpe Park? Very glad that people voted this in. It needed to be in, didn't it? It really did need to be in. It's a beautifully simplistic attraction. And if people haven't been, it was at Thorpe Park between the years of something and something. I did mention it in the video. I think it
took over from the Freezer.
Yes, so it was the Freezer for a couple of years. I want to say 2008 or 13. I really can't remember now, but it was a staple of Thorpe Park.
Yeah.
People remember the theme tune. And in essence, it was a very simple chain-linked maze with a chainsaw at the end.
Full of smoke. Full of strobe. Full of patients dressed in white.
It's nothing that you've not ever seen everywhere else.
It worked so well, and it was always so different. Every run was always so different. Sometimes you'd go down your opening corridor, see no one. Then you'd go round again, go down your opening corridor and get bombarded by actors doing the backward crab at you.
Yeah, it's very erratic, wasn't it?
We went through once and there was this actor that stuck in my mind forever that had...
She had no arm.
Had no arm. So
like legit, she
legit,
had no arm.
Her arm stopped just before her elbow. And to see that in a smoky, strobey maze, and to see this actress licking the stump.
Yeah, she sort of like put blood on it and she was gnawing on it.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, she used her own characteristics to the max there. So fair play. It was just a quality attraction. You know, we've all... ran out of mazes with chainsaws. We've all seen strobe lighting. We've all seen chain link fences. It's nothing that lots of places haven't copied and done not as well as. For some reason, it just worked with the Asylum.
And no matter how many times you were like, it's cool, I've got this, I can just walk past the chainsaw, you couldn't.
For some reason, that one, more than anywhere else, is scarier. Yeah. I think it is. And it was so good. I think, obviously, an element of nostalgia has got to be in there. We remember these things, you know, Christmases were so much better when you were a kid, purely because of nostalgia. And I think there is an element of nostalgia. If it came back now, we potentially would be going, well, we've seen so much new stuff since then, or it's just...
Oh, my God, if it came back now, it'd have bungees.
Oh,
I love that.
But yeah, you know, Thorpe Park Asylum, a staple of the event. It was there when they did all their homegrown attractions with the likes of Curse, Hellgate, The Passing,
Seven.
And then obviously they went to the year of Lionsgate, and I think Asylum was the only attraction there for 1 year that wasn't Lionsgate, so that flew the flag there. And then it was tore down for Studio 13, which I just think wasn't as good.
Anyway, in at number 7 is 2073 at York Hollow Scream.
Yes, so York Maze, Hollow Scream, 2073, their second time-travelling attraction. The first one that was in place there was 1873. Never got a chance to go through that. I enjoy... You know what? Overall, I really enjoy Hollow Scream. We've only ever visited twice, which is actually not a lot compared to the likes of a lot of places we go each and every year. Hollow Scream seems to be one that we try to fit in, not because we don't enjoy it as much as any others, purely because of how dates fall.
Yeah.
And also what we can get off work and what other attractions are there. It's also 3 hours away from us. So we do try and fit it in, but we have only managed to fit it in twice, and it's becoming one that we really can't miss now. The atmosphere of the event is just pumping. It's electric. It's very different to anywhere else, as in it's a sort of indoor attraction with DJs, and the stage show's great. Lots of shows on every half an hour, every 15 minutes. There's lots of stuff going on. 2073. I love this attraction. It's not actually my favourite one there. I think Difference Engine was great, and then Singularity, which has just replaced that for 2019. Those two have always been my favourites. You've got...
2073 has always felt like the longest to me, though.
It's very long because there's so much to it.
Longer.
I don't know, maybe so. There's Barmageddon. They've got their Clown 3D maze now. They've got the Flesh Pot, which is like... They have got very different style attractions. They've got the Blood and Gore one. They've got the futuristic style one. They've got the Clown one. And this one is their zombie one.
Yeah. It always stands out for me as the attraction. Like, I mean, until I watched your video, I didn't actually know that you went through a time machine.
Yeah, the first room. It's like a TARDIS.
I didn't get that that's what it was.
Oh, I did.
I just thought we were in some apocalyptic world with loads of zombies and vehicles. And the thing I love most about 2073 is the actors encourage you to get in the fire trucks or the ambulances and like get in the back, and then you get in the back and then there's an attack of a zombie in the back. It's really, really interactive.
Yeah, it's a very like you say, a long attraction. It's a mixture of, there's so many vehicles in it, which is great, and there's fire so effects and water effects, and
it's anti-Trump
yeah, it's post-Trump. It's the actors are always quality in there. They're always ravenous. It's basically their zombie maze, but with a difference. And I like the fact that they change up. There's hospital scenes, cell scenes, a core maze section. There is just so much to it. And like I say, to start off in a... Hannah didn't get it, but I did. Some sort of TARDIS, like a Doctor Who time machine. For me, it really is a standout attraction. And I'm glad it managed to make the list there. A couple of others from... Hollow Scream got onto the list as well, but obviously further down, not in the top 10. But yeah, 2073, really quality attraction, and fair play, you're getting in the top 10.
Yeah. In at number 6 is The Sewers at Cursed.
Now, we actually can't say much about this one, which just seems a little bit unfair, but we've never visited Cursed, although we really, really want to.
The thing is, with these attractions down south, is the only time we actually go down towards London, Essex way is either before or after we fly out to Germany, because of how far away from us it is. It's like a 5-hour drive. We try and, like... cram it all in to the same weekend.
Yes.
So we book a week off work and we'll go to Germany for 3 days and we'll spend maybe 2 days before that doing attractions and then 2 days after that doing attractions.
We do like Thorpe Park, Scaresville, the problem is down south stuff.
That's quite early on in the month. So a lot of attractions aren't open, which unfortunately means that we don't get to do them. But from the reviews I've heard, Kirst, if it's open, fingers crossed, is definitely on my to-do list for 2020.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we weren't able to go, but the Kirst team have always been very pleasant in inviting us, and we sent Dan and Jess from UK Haunters to do a Scarecam takeover, and we did a full in-depth interview episode with them about Kirst, so you can head back in the archives and check that out. It is a shame. Events only obviously have set dates they run. Curses are very heavy at the later of October, and which makes sense. And obviously, like Hannah said, we can't always get down there for that time. We don't have a massive team, and we don't plan on having a team that is huge and massive. But I think now and again, it is cool to get other like-minded people to do a bit of a Scarecam takeover. And Dan and Jess, they know their stuff. They've just filmed a UK Haunters documentary, which is getting released in September, so they definitely know their stuff. They did a Scarecam takeover. They loved it. They thought it was great. The attractions are really intense, and most specifically the sewers. Backstory about the sewers: it used to be like the butcher style maze. Mr. Pimpkin and his team and his family would be killing people and butchering them up until the authorities found out and, you know, damned them from living with the people, and they had to be cast out of society, and they found themselves a nice little home in the sewers. People would trespass trying to find them, and they'd cut them up. I've seen a few clips thanks to kiphakes.tv.
It's definitely not vegetarian.
It's definitely not vegetarian.
I love that quote.
Looking at the visuals from that, it's always difficult with seeing attractions on camera. Obviously, with lighting, Kip would have used a heavier light for his attraction. That's why we're heavily a podcast over scare cams. We do more podcasting rather than video.
For me, it's easier to podcast cases than film. We've tried filming in mazes before.
And we do now and again.
Yeah. It's a whole sort of faff where you're trying to get the lighting right, so you're showing the scare off in the best way, and you spend your whole time not actually looking at the event.
Yes.
So,
whereas if I can wear a microphone, I can actually review it.
Wearing a microphone is so much easier. So I actually enjoy attractions more when I'm not filming.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But then I really enjoy watching
other people's.
Other people's.
Yeah, we're very glad that other people do it. So a huge thank you to Kip Hakes at kiphakes.tv. Go check him out. He has loads of cool vlogs, to be fair, and he's done lots of in-maze filming. So go and check that out. He let me use a few clips for our video. So, yeah, the clips I've seen, it looks like an impressive. There's some, like, long, narrow sort of sewer corridors. Yeah, but they just look really cool, really impressive. So, yeah, really impressed, really happy that sewers at Kirst has got in at number 6.
In at number 5 is Hotel Hell at Yorkshire Scare Grounds.
You're so peppy.
Again,
another attraction that is even more difficult for us to talk about because we haven't visited Yorkshire Scare Ground since 2013.
Is that how long it's been?
That's how long it's been. Wow. Hannah visited in 2012. You had an amazing time in 2012.
Oh my God. Mikey was supposed to come with us, but he got man flu the day that we were going. So I travelled.
It was bad, man.
I travelled with my baby brother all the way to Yorkshire on my own, which is a big deal for me, and absolutely blew us away. Raved about it for a whole year, went back the year later, and it just wasn't as good.
But
and we haven't been back since, and I hope that we can change that.
Yeah, I've heard some amazing things. I've heard they have some fantastic attractions. Like I said, Hannah, we might have just gone on a dead night, which does happen. But Hotel Hell, it's had numerous reincarnations. One year it's run by Crazy Clowns. This last year it was run by, it's called Undead Vacation, so it was overrun by zombies this year, and like I say, it got a nice handful of votes to get it to Hotel Hell Yorkshire Scare Grounds in at number 5, so it's halfway through this top 10 list. Again, over 80 attractions for it to get number 5 within these 80 attractions with a few hundred people voting, fair play. They don't have a lot of in-maze footage, they don't really let people film inside their attractions, quite rightly, fair enough, absolutely, which meant it was even harder to put stuff in video. I just had to take their advertisement, but again, Their online marketing when it comes to advertisements is really damn good, so make sure you check them out. Difficult one for us to talk about here because we've not visited. lots of people, I don't know many of these people that have been able to tell us about it because that they haven't visited either, but it did get a handful of votes. Mm. And if it's anything to go by what you'd had experienced in 2012, I bet you it is a bloody quality attraction.
Yeah.
Definitely. Next up.
In at number four is The Sanctuary at Orton Towers Scarefest.
Now, again, I think you could not have a UK best scare attraction list and not include The Sanctuary at Orton Towers. It was just an attraction that worked and worked. Yeah. In each and every way. It was there for three seasons, opened 2012. A great bit of marketing for the Smiler. Very different, Smiler very futuristic. This was very sort of Victorian style, but it just worked. You could tell it was a whole Ministry of Joy backstory. It was just stunning. It used a lot of the actual towers. Mm. Whereas I think Terror of the Towers actually doesn't use as much as you think. Terror of the Towers is always quite faked inside, if that makes sense. You had lots of theming. Whereas The Sanctuary, although you did have theming, you did use massive big rooms of the towers, and it was very authentic, very real. I mean,
and the actors were so on point. Always intense. Always. I remember we went through one year and we had an e-stop mid-maze and we were evacuated from The Sanctuary, and every single actor stayed in character, which made it more scary.
Yeah.
That we were,
and they safely got us out.
Suddenly the lights were up, the music had stopped, it was an e-stop, and we were being told we were being evacuated by lunatics in bed robes. It was insane.
But they did a fantastic job, and it was a quality attraction, honestly. The rooms, again, you can kind of say there's nothing you've not seen before, like an asylum-esque style of attraction, beds and hospital gowns and waiting room style things.
I always saw something new. Always.
It was always impressive. It was always very impressive. There's a flame thrower.
Like in the rec room.
Yeah. And it just worked. What was different and brand new that on paper should never work was the marmalisation room. God,
that video.
And the smell. And
the water.
If no one's done it, we can't really give it justice. But the attraction was very heavily dark, real, brick. And then all of a sudden you went into a plastic-style corridor. Very narrow. Videos of disgusting stuff on screen. Mind trick on stuff on
mind trickery
on screen. Just loads of randomness, really. And the smell, it was actually cherry pie or apple pie, I think the smell was. And
was it?
And it was leg ticklers and spray. And honestly, if you've not done it, they haven't replicated it anywhere else, I don't think.
No.
And I don't think it will ever be. But yeah, The Sanctuary. The finale, again, was sort of a chain link strobe finale, but there was two exits. They split you up. There's two exits to go out. It was really, really good, honestly. The second year, they added the Smiler logos flashing around, which was really cool. You didn't have that in the first year. So the attraction did change a bit.
I really liked as well that when the Smiler was delayed, they opened the Sanctuary, and it was like, yes, The Sanctuary is open, and it's April.
Definitely. And you can't forget the infamous Dr. Kelman. Joey Canal, who really made that role. He is a cult famous person now within Orton Tower Scarefest. Yeah. So
I remember once he liked one of our posts, I was like, oh my God, Dr. Kelman likes Scare Track.
So Sanctuary, number four. That is my personal favourite in the UK. Number three.
In at number three is a maze that I've wanted to do for years. An attraction, not a maze. It is Scream Factory at Teesside.
Yes, Scream Factory. Now, before we talk more about Scream Factory, I did explain this in our video. I haven't really explained it so much here now, but people might be thinking, well, that's not a maze, that's a full-on attraction. Now, maze, attraction, haunt, whatever you want to call it, it's all basically the same thing. You go into a scare maze, or you go into a scare attraction, or you go into a haunted house. It's all the same thing. However, there are different subgenres within this. Obviously, if you go to an event like Tullys, they have 10 different mazes, attractions, haunts. obviously, if you do Scream Camp, that is one attraction yeah. within itself. And the same with Scream Factory. It doesn't have individual attractions,
it's
mazes, haunts.
One
it's
massive
one
scare.
Massive attraction, maze, haunt. Similar with Hotel Hell with Yorkshire Scaregrounds. Although that is a multi-part event, it does have specific five individual attractions. So, if any confusion there, why we're counting some places that are Scream Park, some places that are full on nature, like trails that last an hour.
It's because it's that one experience.
Solid experience. And Scream Factory is that. We, like Anna said, we haven't had a chance to go. Again, that's an event that's a good 4 hours away from us, and obviously dates, they're very heavy on their Friday, Saturday nights, their school holidays, quite rightly so as well, but we struggle to get up there.
Don't work for us then.
Yeah, we struggle to get up there. But I've heard so many good things about Scream Factory. The team are really nice. We've met them at ScareCon, part of Dead Real Films as well. They're really, really nice team that wear their heart on their sleeve. Speaking to people who have been to Scream Factory, Lee and Sarah from Faceless Ventures, good friends of the show, every time they go, we can't get them to shut up about it because they absolutely love it, and they're telling us there's some amazing scenes. That one of the best clown roaming character they've ever seen, a fantastic hillbilly scene. They use pitch black dark tunnels, like mines. Their set design is phenomenal. They really build fantastic, big, elaborate sets. So although we can't say much about it ourselves, we have heard that it's phenomenal, fantastic, and very worthy. And getting quite a lot, like the top four really did blow it out of the water. When it comes to Sanctuary, Scream Factory, and our top two, these mazes were ones that really sort of did double even everyone else in the top 10 list.
The jump from number of votes
just
shows how strong this top four is.
Absolutely. Scream Factory, we need to get there. We need Definitely. To do it. It looks phenomenal. They do out of season stuff as well, which is great. So hopefully, you know, if we can't get there for Halloween, we could get there for Christmas or Valentine's or something like that.
Fingers crossed.
Number two.
In at number two is Pie Factory at Extreme Scream Park, Melton Mowbray.
Twin Lakes Family Theme Park, Extreme Scream Park. You know what? I'm really quite happy and surprised that Pie Factory managed to hit this list. I'm not surprised because it's a quality attraction. However, if someone was to say an Extreme Scream Factory maze, Extreme Scream Park maze, you would have thought the likes of The Village, one of the longest attractions in the UK, Hoodoo Voodoo, on its good years when it does really quality scares. Stilton Hall and Hotel Spa, 52 rooms, a fantastically long attraction.
With Pie Factory, it is so different. You go through a kitchen, you go through a house, you go through outside where there's actual pigs.
Yeah.
Like there's slaughter rooms. It has everything you need, and you get immersed in the whole story that you are going to be put into a pie.
Especially when Melton Mowbray is famous for its pies.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think the reason why this is in the top four as opposed to other Extreme Scream attractions is purely down to the actors, in my opinion. Not knocking the actors from any other attraction at all. I think it's that in Pie Factory they have more freedom to work with the set,
to move with it. Yeah,
I've seen actors popping out of fridges and freezers.
Yeah.
I've seen actors swinging off meat hooks that move down the room.
Yes.
I think they have a lot more freedom than other attractions that
where you're stuck in a place. Yes,
I think that's for me the reason why this is probably very rightly so at number two.
Definitely. And you know what, fair play, Pie Factory was the maze that bought Extreme Scream Park to the forefront when it comes to UK scare attractions.
The first year we did it,
which was its first year. I don't know if Extreme Scream had done small scale scare events before then, but the year that we went, Pie Factory was the standout attraction. Yeah. They had the Dungeon, which was a small kids attraction, which they sort of darkened up and put some scary acting in there.
They also had this hooded maze that was on a children's climbing frame.
Oh, Punishment or Punisher.
I loved it. I loved the idea of it. But adults going through children's
Play frames in the cold, dark, wet, where you can't see.
Following a rope. But yeah. I loved that we ended on a slide.
Yeah, the slide was great. You went down to hell on a slide, which was great. But Extreme Scream Park, they came onto when they came to the forefront of scares in the UK, like I said, when I say 2012, 13, 14 maybe, Pie Factory was its attraction. I'm glad they've not got rid of it. Some attractions have come and gone with Extreme Scream, and everything has only got better. I mean, making The Village was a phenomenal breakthrough. It's so long, so big. The dungeon change of a Hoodoo Voodoo, big improvement. Stilton Hall Hotel Spa, amazing attraction. Like, it's huge, it's big. You spend more time in mazes than you do out of mazes at Extreme Scream Park.
Yeah.
But with Pie Factory, also, there's been lots of changes over the years. They added a few years ago a big hog animatronic, well, like a puppet, which really works at the beginning of the attraction. It's just an attraction that has changed a little bit over the years, some quality scenes. And it's so much so that I actually can't... A lot of attractions, I can remember routes and rooms quite heavily. Mm. Like Village, I could probably tell you what room is after next quite well. Whereas a Pie Factory, because it's changed quite a bit over the 6 or 7 years it's been there, I couldn't, because it's just changed so much. And I was surprised, because I thought people would have gone for the likes of Hoodoo Voodoo or Stilton or Village, which all got votes. But Pie Factory really did run away with it when it came to Extreme Scream Park attraction. So fair play to Pie Factory and Extreme Scream for getting second in our top 10 UK best scare attraction list. In at number one,
as voted by you, the general public, in our top 10, number one is Scaresville.
That was very good. No real sound effects were used for that, only Hannah's mouth. Scaresville, the Haunted Village, Kentwell Hall, down south. You know what? We went for the first time last year. We've heard great things about it. And I think it's one that's slightly on the... It's not always on everyone's radar. And I think it's because, again, it's a very different style of attraction. It's not a, it's not individual houses. It's not a multi-part event. It is a continuous hour and a bit, hour and a half. I can't remember how long it took us. A continuous trail from start to finish, and it's just like going into a completely other world.
Yeah.
Like, once you're there, you're in this world until the end. And
there was a post-apocalyptic Mad Max style area. There was a hillbilly area.
Cowboys.
There was an amazing church scene that was nominated for Scar Award.
Yeah, I think
there was a gorilla.
There was a gorilla. there was clowns.
The dentist
chair.
Oh, that was good.
The dentist chair. There's an Alice in Wonderland scene. You know what? It was an attraction that was just so much of it, and it lasted so long, and it had brilliant elements of quite intense bits, less intense bits of... There's never nothing happening, but you could walk for a minute until something did happen. We thoroughly enjoyed it. And like I said, I think it's gone slightly under the radar as such in the grander scheme of things. I don't know why, really. It might be because that it's not like they can go, we've got a brand new maze for this year or anything like that, because they are just a whole big attraction. But the big attraction is huge.
Yeah.
It's monumental. The acres you must walk and the ground square foot of the attraction's huge.
And that final
goes on forever.
Scene where you... Do I give it away?
Well, spoilers.
Spoilers. The final scene, you go into a room and all the doors are fake.
Heavy spoilers here. Heavy spoilers. Don't listen if you don't want to carry on.
I can not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Some of the doors are fake. You'll open it up and there's brickwork or another door that doesn't open.
Or a mirror.
And then suddenly, out of one of the doors, a guy with a chainsaw comes at you, and the whole wall behind you opens up.
Yeah.
And you are chased out into a field.
Yes.
It is absolutely insane.
It was so cool.
At the end, there's a bar.
The barbaric bar.
The barbaric bar. And you know me, I love a good bar. And you can watch that room
on CCTV.
Whilst having a beer, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is really, really good. And the bar, what we've missed as well is that it comes in three sections, Scaresville. The main event, which is it is a really fantastic, it's a haunted trail. It's not a scare maze, it is a haunted trail. And it's very, it's very scary in parts, but not too extreme in the fact that I think this will scare 12-year-olds and 80-year-olds. I think this is a family-friendly, not scared to scare the hell out of 12-year-olds, but I think it really is a quality. If my mom wanted to go to a scare event, I'd probably take her to that one, because it's long but there's nothing that's going to really terrify him, but it's going to give him a good shock. Then you got the part at the end, Barbaric Bar, which is a cool little place to chill out. Really well themed, decorated.
Cheesy chips, highly recommend.
Are very nice. But we've missed out the actual fairground at the beginning.
Yeah.
Undead Fairground. It's a waiting area as such, but you don't feel like you're waiting. There's a 5-minute escape room. There's a tarot reader. There's
we were there for half hour before we got called in.
I think so, yeah.
And I still felt like that wasn't enough time. I could have had longer,
yeah. I could have had something to eat, to drink. There's a little tent where someone was doing acrobatics. There's a fire breather and sword fire girl.
I had my cards read.
Yeah, yeah.
By a tarot reader with a beard.
with a beard, but a big cleavage.
Beautiful boobies. Yeah. And spot on.
Zelda, I think her name was.
Spot on that tarot reader.
Actually, got everything correct.
Like, it was scary.
Yeah. I think we follow her on Twitter, I don't know whether
Zelda was following me socially and knew that I was going through a time of chaos in my life.
No, I think she followed us after the event, so I may have to reach out to her thinking about that. But yeah, three quality sections to this event, and we visited because, like Hannah said, we do our down south attractions whilst we're flying to and from Germany, because we go from Stansted. So we try and fit in our southern-based attractions then. And thank goodness Scaresville was open when we were there, because it really was a highlight of the event. The only thing I would say is try and go in a bigger group.
Yeah, they do splash this all over their website.
Yeah,
all
it's
over
very
their
helpful
booking,
so people know.
That they make sure that you realise that you are going to be spending an hour and a half to 2 hours with your group. If you don't know the group, you will get to know the group. There's no way that you can go through this attraction without knowing someone's name. We went through with a group of teenage girls that kind of put downers on things for us.
Only because we're heavily into... I mean, if we were normal Joe Public, they probably wouldn't have bothered us that much at all. Only because we're so geeky
but
when it comes to
our
stuff.
If we were with a group of friends, the moments of stillness that would have creeped us out would have been there.
Yes.
As opposed to girls cracking out their phone.
Yeah.
Teenagers. Teenagers, I know, that turned around to a gorilla and went, ugh. Why is there a gorilla? Yeah. Whilst I went, fuck, there's a gorilla!
Yeah. So we would advise if you can go. I can't remember how big the group, so I think it was a group of 12, which, again, it's just a normal size group for actually a scare attraction. So it's not like they ploughed you with 50 other people or whatnot. I can't remember. There weren't that many people in our group.
They took us down an actor's run, didn't they?
I can't remember.
I think so.
But yeah, we would say, obviously, there's two of us and we were partnered with a group. And don't get me wrong, they were very friendly and letting us go at the front on one bit, and then we swap places. But then sometimes, you know, teenage girls are just screamy and just a bit
not
annoying,
screaming in a good way.
No. But Scaresville, very glad we went last year so we could actually comment on this here. It did win number one. And it got, you know, a nice handful of votes. Like I said, these top four, it was close between these top four, but, you know, they really are high compared to the 76 other attractions that were voted.
That's
math. That's math. quick math. But yeah, Scaresville, highly recommend it. And again, it's one that I think in the scare world just unfortunately just goes slightly under the radar a bit. But they've been doing... They also don't... Not shout about stuff, but they keep themselves to themselves. They're quite a humble team.
Well, until sort of 2 years ago, I'd never even heard of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think they've been to a huge amount of scare cons or anything like that. And they sort of... you know, they run their own manor house and gardens, and then this thing they do at Halloween, they just hand make it all and build it there and then, and you can tell that it's a lot of heart, blood, sweat and tears have gone into that event, and I'm very happy that they've managed to make a top 10 number one. So congratulations, Scaresville. And that brings us to the end really of our top 10 more in-depth list of the UK best scare attractions slash haunts slash maze, whatever you want to call them. Let us know what you think. Do you think they all deserve to be on there? Would you think that something else should have been on there? Are you surprised something else was on there? Or were you surprised that one of these were on there? Not trying to belittle any attraction here, but, you know, scare attractions, continuity, that's not the word I want.
Yeah, continuity works.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe. You can't have the same experience every single time.
That's continuity.
That's not the word I want.
No.
There's definitely another word that I'm looking for, that when I listen back to this, I'm screaming at myself going, are you an idiot, Mikey?
Leave a pause.
Consistency.
Insert that word.
Thanks, I will. So, yeah, I think that brings us to the end of our top 10. Let us know what kind of top 10s you would like to see. Someone said to me the other day they'd like to see top 10 best clown mazes, which
that's cool.
Could be quite cool.
Said to me they wanted me to do my top 10 bars, and I'm really excited about that because I've already compiled my list.
There we go. The problem is with things like that is in a video footage.
I'm sure I have footage of them.
We need to definitely film more. But I think that brings us to the end of our top 10. A huge thank you for listening. And Hannah, thanks for giving your input with this top 10.
Thanks for letting me be on your podcast.
It was our podcast. Idiot. So that brings us to the end of our top 10 best scare attractions here in the UK.
You're listening to
So there we go, guys. Remember to join us over on our social media pages. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. You can find absolutely everything Scare Track related on our website, which is
www.scaretrack.co.uk.
She's so good. Hannah, it's been great having a discussion episode. We actually haven't had a discussion episode in a while.
It's so nice to be back in the studio. I think lockdown sent me into a funk where I didn't want to be in the studio.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to be back.
Yeah, definitely. It's been fun. It's cool to talk about what other people have sort of decided for us, really. Like I say, lockdown has been a little bit of a crazy time for all of us. We can't go out and do any on location stuff. And we can only bring you so many amount of interviews. Like I say, there's lots of people that also still want to come onto the show, but are currently trying to make sure that they have a viable business right now.
Yeah.
You know, the escape room people are doing online stuff. The farm parks are figuring out how to do drive-throughs, farm shops, just to make sure that they can potentially still do Halloween. It's a very
crazy time.
It
was announced yesterday that the theme parks are planning to reopen on the 4th of July. So that at least is a positive.
Absolutely, yeah. So hopefully, you know, and if things stay under control, you know, July, August, September, that's a good 3 months until it's October. So who knows? We could be all okay. But other than that, thank you for listening. Like I say, if you want to see the visuals and check out that top 10 video, it took me ages, so go do it. scaretrack.co.uk if you want to watch it on our website, or make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel because we need more subscribers. So youtube.com/scaretrack, click that subscribe button, click that little bell notification so you're notified as soon as you put up a new video. And I think that brings us to the end of the Scare Track podcast.
Yep.
The next podcast will be out live tomorrow on our Instagram page. In case you haven't seen it already, we are now doing
Instagram live.
Jeez, that was loud. Sorry about that, guys.
Sorry.
Instagram live, mini interviews online, so you guys can interact with us as well. And they will be, like I say, live on Instagram. So search for Scare Track on Instagram and follow us there. We are going live at 6:30 on Sunday, the 7th of June, 2020. So if you've listened to this afterwards, head over to our YouTube channel where we're putting the recording of the Instagram live interview up. It's with Callum Beckett from Scream Camp. Talk all about Scream Camp, obviously winning their award, but also the brand new attraction, something that we feel that we've never seen before in the UK, The Retreat. So very excited about that. Instagram, 6:30, 7th of June 2020, UK time, that is UK time. But if you missed that, it will be on our YouTube channel as well. So, Hannah, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon.
Cook dinner. Go and cook the dinner. And guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.